Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're currently studying the final book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation. And we come today in our study to Revelation chapter 5. We pick it up in verse number 8. Revelation 5, verse 8. Get your Bible if you can. We'll begin in just a minute. The Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Study the whole Bible, all the way through, from Genesis through Revelation, every single verse. Three complete series, actually, every single verse from Genesis through Revelation, using my audio Bible messages. Check it out when you get a chance. Hope you get a chance soon, because the Word of God is very important, and that's a good place to study it. At thebibleversebyverse.com. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's pick it up, as I said, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Just a quick recap. John the Apostle has been caught up to heaven, where he sees this amazing vision of God and the throne of God and all sorts of wonderful things. And then the angel comes out with this scroll, and it's written on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And John knows it's important. It's the Word of God. It contains the Word of God. And John can't wait for it to be opened. And the question is asked, who's worthy to open it? And there wasn't anybody, not a human being anywhere, on earth or in heaven, that was worthy to open that scroll. John started crying. He wanted to see the Word. And all of a sudden, the Lamb of God showed up. And we know who that is. That's Jesus. And the Bible says, don't cry, John. The Lamb, the Son of God, has prevailed. He's worthy. So let's look at verse 8. And when he, that is the Lord Jesus, had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And of course, there's proof that Jesus is God, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And verse 9, they sung a new song saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. Jesus redeemed us. He is the only redeemer that there is, and he redeemed us. That is, he bought us back, because that's what that word means. You say, back from where? Back from the road to hell. Back from the road to perdition. See, we all sold our souls to hell by our sin. And we could not correct the situation. So Jesus, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, gave up his omnipresence, confined himself to a human body, lived a sinless life, and died and paid for our sins. And he corrected the situation for us. Jesus redeemed us out of the mess that we put ourselves in due to our sin. And so he is worshiped. People in heaven know who the important one is. My friends, it's not Mary. It's not Peter. It's Jesus. He is the focal point of heaven. The living creatures and the 24 elders, which represent the church, fall down and worship him. He is Almighty God. And anybody who's in heaven, any human being who's in heaven, knows that they're there because of what Jesus did. He redeemed them. Remember when I did my sister's funeral a few years back? I told the people gathered, you know, I'm not going to talk about my sister. Yeah, in passing. But I said, I'm not going to talk about her. Primarily, I'm going to talk about Jesus because that's what she would want me to do. Because if she could come, and I said this, if she could come back, she would say, Mike, don't talk about me. I know it's my memorial service. It's my funeral, but don't talk about me. I'm in heaven. Talk about the one who got me here. Talk about the one who paid for my sins so that I could be here. Talk about him. Every person in heaven wants to talk about Jesus and wants to worship him. Verse 10, and have made us unto our God kings and priests. When Jesus saves a sinner, he saves them well. We are not doomed to a life controlled by sin. We are saved to reign. We are saved and empowered to rule over our sin. We are saved and empowered to rule over our body and our soul and our spirit. The Bible says that sin shall no longer have dominion under us or over us, for we are not under the law, but under grace. So when Jesus redeems us, it's not just to set us off the road to hell, which is wonderful, but it's to redeem us, to deliver us from a life of sin, slavery to sin. 11, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The people on earth at this time, the powers on earth, and the general population scream that Jesus should be nailed to the cross. The people in heaven say, Jesus deserves honor. The people on earth said, kill him. The people in heaven say, worship him. Those who recognize that Jesus should receive worship while they were still here on earth will also worship him. They will worship the Lord now. They will worship the Lord when they get to heaven. The people who get to heaven are the ones who worship Jesus. Jesus, despised and rejected on earth, but worshiped in heaven. Christians, same thing, despised and rejected on earth, but worshipers of Jesus in heaven. That's the way it is. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, because Jesus also said, narrow is the gate and hard is the way that leads to heaven. You're going to take the same road that Jesus took, which is if you are saved and you show it by your life, and if you don't, you got a problem. You're going to be despised. You're going to be rejected. The world's not going to love you. The world's going to persecute you. It's just the way it is. It goes with the territory, just like it did Jesus. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. But the good news is you end up in heaven because you're truly saved, just like Jesus is in heaven. You follow in his footsteps every step of the way. 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The Bible says that every knee will bow before Jesus and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. And that is what this verse is picturing. Do not fret when you suffer for the sake of your faith in Jesus Christ, because those who persecute you and those who despise Jesus will one day know that they were wrong and they will regret what they have done. They would never believe it. And they go to their graves, many of them, insisting that it isn't true. But one day they will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ that they despise, and they despise you for following him. Now they're going to bow before him and not get saved as a result. It's too late for that. They're going to bow before him and give him the honor that he is due as their creator. And then they will be thrown into hell. But they will bow before Jesus before they're thrown into hell. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And we see it right here. Those on the earth, those in heaven, and those under the earth. It's talking about people who are in hell. They all bow before Jesus. 14, and the four beasts said amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Sinners cannot vote Jesus out of office. And if they are, for some reason, hoping that he will pass away and be succeeded by someone who might be more sympathetic to their sinful ways, they can forget it. Because Jesus' kingdom has no end. What does it say? He lives and he reigns forever and ever. He's it. He always will be it. You either bow to him while you're alive and be saved, or you bow to him after you're dead and go to hell. Let's go to chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. Look at verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is a picture of Jesus the King. Jesus is wearing a crown because if a sinner wants him to be Savior, then he must also be that person's King. He must also be that person's Lord. He must submit to Jesus' Lordship and kingship. We cannot take half of Christ. He must be our Lord as well as our Savior. If he isn't our Lord and our Savior, then he will be our judge on the last day. Look at verse 3. It says, and when he, talking about Christ, had opened the second seal. Actually, let's back up and read verse 2 again, if we could. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And so Jesus is not just seen as king, but he is seen as conquering. As long as his church proclaims the word of God, Jesus Christ will conquer souls through it, and by that defeat the devil who holds people captive to their sin and captive on the road to hell. But the word of God is how Jesus conquers in this world. It's always the word of God. He always conquers by his word. We are called to be arrows in the Lord's quiver today. Every time we pray for lost souls, every time we proclaim the pure, clear word of God, or every time we help to get out the word of God, Jesus uses us to attack the kingdom of darkness and to conquer sin and the devil. It is the power of God's word that does it. Now, Satan will try to intimidate you, to keep you from doing it, to keep you from helping to get the word of God out, to keep you from living the word of God yourself or proclaiming the word of God yourself. He will do everything he can to intimidate you. But you must prevail in order to be used by Jesus. He will conquer through the word of God. He will defeat sin. He will defeat the devil. He will save souls out of the clutches of Satan and off the road to hell. He conquers as we give out the word of God. He's conquering right now. Verse 3, and when he, Christ, had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him who sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. War and death and destruction and misery are seen coming upon the world that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to know that war and death and destruction and misery are going to come on this world that rejects him. Those who will not submit to his offer of mercy will suffer his wrath. And God's wrath is not always fire from heaven. It's not always fire and brimstone like that which was rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not always the earth opening up and swallowing sinners alive, taking them down into the pit, as it was with Korah when he led his rebellion against Moses in the wilderness. It's not always that way. At times, God's wrath is worked through sinners who hurt other sinners. There cannot be, there can never be, genuine peace between man and man apart from those men being at peace with God. When men reject God, God often uses men as his rod of punishment. We can expect trouble if we reject Christ. That's the message. We can expect trouble if we don't know what we know we should do. And that begins with repentance and submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You don't do that, trouble's coming your way. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he who sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see you hurt not the oil and the wine." And God is here seen attacking unrepenting, Christ-rejecting sinners, this time with famine. More trouble. God will be relentless in pouring out his wrath on Christ-rejecting sinners. It's just a matter of time. Now remember, this book of Revelation is written to Christians to make them see that yes, there will be suffering for Christ in this world. And persevering with Christ means substituting the things of this world for the things of eternity. But whatever you go through in this life, this book reminds us that God's on your side because you're on Jesus' side. And whatever you're going through this life pales in comparison with Christ-rejecting sinners are going to go through because of their rejection of God. So God is seen here hitting Christ-rejecting sinners, the impenitent, with famine. They would not acknowledge the Lord God who provided all good things to enjoy, so he removes those good things from them, giving credit to Mother Nature for their sustenance, giving credit to the earth and to their environmental programs for their sustenance, giving credit to blind chance, evolution, for their existence, or laughable, but what will become a very powerful deception, I believe, in the last days, extraterrestrials who planted us here. You know, there's a lot of people, even in government, who believe that. And a lot of other people who believe that, too. And I think that's going to become even a more and more prominent deception. Giving credit to everyone and everything, the most ridiculous things that you can think of, rather than taking the Word of God at face value and giving credit to God, who is the provider of all good things, the Bible says. So easy to believe nonsense when you cut yourself off from the umbilical cord that is led to the Word of God. And so they would not acknowledge the Lord God, who not only gave them life, but provides all good things for them to enjoy. So, since they would not give him credit, and most of the time people do not do that today, he removes those good things. Brace yourself. They wouldn't repent during their judgment of war in the previous seal. They would not repent in the misery that came as a result of that trouble. So now they suffer the judgment of famine. And I will tell you this, my friends, sinners who reject Christ should not expect things to get better. They will go from one level of bad to the next. You'll just barely catch your breath from one judgment, from one bad thing that occurs in this world, and you'll be experiencing another one. Verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. All these things mentioned here, actually all these things in the first four seals, are instruments of God's wrath against the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? Those who refuse to repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You mean no one else is godly except Christians who have truly done that? That's right. Because until you've done that, you are an enemy of God. And you don't know the Father if you don't know the Son. Jesus himself said that. God the Father spoke from heaven when Jesus was baptized and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." He said that at the Transfiguration when Peter and John, or James and John, were there. Peter, James, and John were there. And the cloud overshadowed them. And God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And so this pictures the end of those who reject Christ and his lordship. Those who are cruel to their Maker and his Son by their sin, which is what sin is, by the way. Sin is cruelty toward God because he hates it so much. Those who are cruel toward the Father and the Son through their sin shall experience divine wrath, including but not limited to savage treatment by cruel man. Notice verse 9. And when he, Christ, had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Don't miss this. Remember, the book of Revelation, I'm going to keep reminding you, was written to Christians, many of whom were suffering or will suffer shortly because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And he doesn't soft pedal his religion. Jesus never made it easy to be a Christian. He never sold you a bill of goods where he made promises that he would not keep, promises of peace and prosperity and happiness and whatever you wanted in this world. That's the lie that Satan tells people through his false prophets and his false preachers and his false Christians. He tells people those lies. God never did. Jesus never did. And here we see those who are murdered because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But we see, yes, they were murdered, but they are alive, and they are well, and they are safe in heaven. And again, I tell you that being a Christian means that you must be willing to give up the things of this world for the things of eternity. You must be willing to give up good times on earth. Follow Jesus Christ, suffer if need be, whatever might come your way. Give it all up for good times in eternity. That's what living by faith is. That's what being a Christian is all about. And these souls that were in heaven, they talked about Jesus while on earth. They would not back down from their faith in him, and they were slain as a result. And think about this. Why would you kill someone whose only crime was believing and confessing that Jesus is their Lord and Savior and following the Word of God, which doesn't teach anyone to hurt anyone? Why would you kill someone like that, my friends? There's no logical reason to hurt or kill someone like that, unless, of course, you're the devil who hates people and hates even more the Son of God who died to save the souls of men. The devil can't kill Jesus again, so he goes after those who follow and love and serve Jesus. And that's why there's trouble ahead for Christians who go all out for Jesus in this world. And if you don't, you're probably not even a Christian. Continue studying the Word of God with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. Using my audio Bible messages, please remember that I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. So if you want to be a part of this ministry and help me get out the Word of God, and I certainly hope you do, pray for me, pray for the Word of God, and click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give to this ministry as the Lord may lead. Help me to get the Word of God out. It's the most important thing in the world. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.